If you are a regular listener to The Old Mole, you are aware that our program is hosted by a revolving cast of radical thinkers who consistently offer devastating analyses and critiques of our current state of affairs, from the scourge of capitalist exploitation of the many by the few to the planet-destroying effects of unregulated mass industrialization. These hosts at the same time offer potential routes of resistance and the encouragement and hope that collectively we the people can prevail in the struggle to fashion a more just and equitable future for all of humanity. How appropriate that one of these radical old moles be on hand to escort us into a new year, which promises to be one of the darkest, most dangerous, and challenging of the modern era. Unfortunately, they are unavailable, and that task has fallen to me. Don't get me wrong, I'm totally on board with the analysis and critiques of what is the efficacy of resistance and the possibility of that better future where yours truly finds himself inadequate to today's tasks. Oh, I'll be out there in the streets protesting with the rest of you, but I won't be banging drums and joyously and comfortably shouting out slogans of resistance to power. I'll be too depressed. But it'd certainly be irresponsible and inappropriate as the host for a program whose founding theme is Hope for Hard Times to offer you nothing but my own dark vision on this program, the first of the new year. So today I'm going to share with you an article by Tom Bernard entitled The Future Is Now, which offers a modest assessment of the possibilities of resistance. There's been a tremendous amount of less press on how bad the Trump administration will be, Bernard begins, how all progressive policies and programs will be lost, how we're going to be thrown back decades. So let's buck that trend with some good news, followed by some simple advice. Fears are not facts. There's been a lot of articles that start out with whoever Trump might pick for cabinet posts and then postulate the worst things these people could do, almost as if it had already happened. The impression created is that they are omnipotent and can do anything and everything without opposition. This is simply not true. This administration's agenda will be opposed, and the worse it is, the more opposition it will attract. So let's not just assume we're all going to die. They are afraid of us. Hard to believe, perhaps. Consider the response at Standing Rock. Our side, totally nonviolent, people praying, people doing nonviolent civil disobedience, people literally just standing where they aren't supposed to stand. Their side, water cannons, industrial-sized pepper spray and tear gas, rubber bullets, concussion grenades, sound weapons, baton charges. Their explanation? That we are actually violent and threaten them. Yes, it's an obvious lie, but it's also a reflection of how frightened these people are that we refuse to behave in the way they want us to. Same with many of the police shootings. Cops scared to death of young black men because they are young black men. It's going to be much easier to recognize our enemies. The silver lining to a Trump victory is that we won't have to spend time explaining to people that, no, the president is not your friend. Remember how mystified people were at first over what Obama was doing? Where was all that hope and change he promised? How come he was appointing bankers like Timothy Geithner or to cabinet posts? That would have occurred even with Hillary as president. But given his planned cabinet appointees, there will be no illusions in what Trump has in store for us. The standard for opposition punditry is bound to rise. Many of our current left pundits developed their careers when opposition was a low level, and mass movements, let alone union struggles, were periodic at best. The new reality is the movements are going to develop. Oppression is going to grow, and people are going to go into struggle, if for no other reason that they have to. These pundits have neither the experience nor the advice to go with it. Think of Noam Chomsky, who is reduced to scolding us for not voting for Hillary and predicting the end of the world. Who needs that? Nobody, that's who. These people are going to fall off the stage of history like an understudy who falls into the orchestra pit because he can't figure out where his marks are. Youth, as always, will lead the way. The most powerful sign of what's to come is how the youth are reacting. They formed the backbone of support for Bernie. They filled the ranks of those who were out demonstrating the night after the election. And they are the people with one simple question: how do we fight? It extends all the way down, in some cases, even to the middle schools. Bless them. This was the same youthful energy that blew the lid off things in the 60s, and they're going to do it all over again. And now for some advice. Unity means stitching together, not blending into a mush. As opposition to the Trump administration escalates, it's going to get very complicated out there. A lot of different forces with a variety of politics, strategy, and tactics are going to be in the street. That's fine. History will sort out who's effective opposition and who isn't. In the meantime, trying to impose one set of politics for the sake of unity is not only useless, but counterproductive. You take up your politics, I'll take up mine. The masses will decide the winners and losers in their own good time. Imagination is crucial. One of the biggest mistakes the movement against the war in Iraq made was to assume we could just pick up the strategy and tactics of the 60s and 70s and reapply them. So we held teach-ins, marched around in circles, held vigils, showed movies, wrote our Congress, and nada. The administration didn't even blink. They knew we were neutered and our opposition could be ignored. They were right. So this time we need to reinvent opposition in a variety of ways to give it the ability to punch above its weight. Which brings me to my next point. Mary Savio was right. In case one has forgotten the quote, it goes like this. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, end quote. Yeah, I like that. I wish it could be easier, but it's just not. People are going to get hurt. People are going to go to jail. People are going to have to engage in activities they never could have foreseen, because that's just what it's going to take. The most important quality is hope in the future. Despair is easy. Sarcasm a convenient tool, and cynicism seems a refuge. Please, people, let's all let that go. If progress was impossible, we'd still be living under monarchy. The really important struggles are always hard. The powers that be want you to believe that nothing really changes. This isn't the beginning of the end, it's the end of the beginning. The real work starts now. The preamble is finished. It's now a straight-up fight against the system of capitalism, but humanity advances in spite of all reaction. The other side will always have more money and more guns, but that doesn't decide the future. In the end, we do. When we fight, we win is not just a slogan. So let us move boldly and unafraid and make our mark on history once again. Tom Bernard is a socialist activist and member of Socialist Alternative. He is currently living in Seattle. The article is entitled The Future Is Now and can be found on the Counterpoint webpage.